Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to another Larry Huck Ministries podcast. We pray this teaching will fill you with God's wisdom, anointing, and revelation knowledge. Thank you for your prayers and faithful support.
Stand to your feet. We're going to pray. Oh, man, what a powerful thing. Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, but how many know 3 days later he rose again? Amen. I believe that there's a real spirit of faith in here tonight. Do y'all feel that? And the worship was just incredible. Hasn't Danton been doing a great job? Amen. Well, we're going to do communion tonight, but before we do, it is Shabbat, so we are going to light the candles. Jen, come on up. Anna, you want to come on up? Amen. Everybody can stay standing for this, but how many know that the Sabbath begins at sundown on Fridays, and then it goes until sundown tomorrow, and as Dad teaches, the rule is you have to be positive all Sabbath long. Amen? And we know that the Sabbath means that there is going to be nothing missing and nothing broken in our lives. And I heard some praise reports that just got me fired up before service even started tonight about some healings that are taking place. So whatever healing you're looking for in your life or somebody in your family, whether it's a relational breakthrough that you need, a physical healing that you need, a financial thing, God is going to release it tonight. Amen. That's what I believe. If you receive that, just stretch your hands up and just receive it in faith. Because this is a special Shabbat. This is not just any Shabbat, but this is Passover Shabbat. And I just believe that God is going to begin to release miracles into your life right now. The Bible says, according to my faith, be it unto me. Amen. So whatever it is that God's placing on your heart right now, I want you just to allow him to begin to provide for you. Just stretch your hands up, and we are going to welcome in this holy time of the Sabbath, where absolutely nothing is missing and nothing is broken. And we're going to have Jen say the prayer. So, ladies, you can say it with Jen and Anna.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kitzanu bo mitzvotah v'tzivenu lehadlik ner shel Shabbat. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who's commanded us to light the Sabbath candles. Father, we welcome you into our lives today, Lord. We know that there is nothing missing and nothing broken upon our lives. Thank you, Father, that we consider the poor and we reach our hand out to the needy, Father. We thank you tonight, Lord, that we're standing in the gap for all those in need of a miracle, financially, spiritually, and physically, Father. And we just thank you for it, and we bless your holy name today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, we've entered into the Sabbath, and now, men, we're going to pray for our wives. If you're next to your wife, you can lay your hands on her, or if you're believing for a wife, so a really big offering tonight. And I would normally make a joke about my sister at this point, but she's not here, so just be a waste. Wait till she's back. We'll send it out anyways. But let's pray for our wives or wives that you're believing for, and also for our children's future wives. How many know that's important? Amen. Boy, it's a great thing when your children find a great wife. I'm praying one day that Lion just finds one like my mama and my sisters and my wife. Amen. So let's pray for our wives. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for our wives, or for the wives that maybe people are believing for tonight. And Lord, I just even feel by your spirit to say that, Lord, when we pray on the Sabbath, and thank you that our wives are like Proverbs 31 women, women who work hard and who are blessed. I felt like when I started to pray that in my spirit, that maybe that's not what it looks like right now for somebody in here tonight, but we're speaking it in faith. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, that our wives are like Proverbs 31 women. Lord, that God, you command the soles of their feet where they should go, Lord. That you lead them and guide them and direct them, Father, into situations that will bless the household in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we just lift up the children right now. We thank you for our sons and our daughters. And we thank you that our sons are like Ephraim and Manasseh. And we thank you that our daughters are like Rebecca, Sarah, Rachel, and Leah. Father, that our children bring honor to your kingdom. And Father, we speak over their their destinies. Thank you, Lord. And their futures, Father. We thank you that any plan of the enemy is broken by the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you that they have great, great destinies, Father. And that all the days of their life, they will bring you great honor and know you. Lord, let them be sensitive to your spirit and hear your voice very clearly and remove anybody from their lives who should not be in their lives. In Jesus' mighty name. And we said this in faith. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Turn to about three people and tell them Shabbat Shalom. Give them a high five. Amen. All right. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. So we are here tonight to do communion and to commemorate the communion on Good Friday. Good Friday being when Jesus did his communion with his disciples before going to the cross. It's a blessing to study these types of things. As a pastor, it's a blessing because you get to spend time just soaking in the word and what the word meant and just kind of get in the mindset of Jesus and the disciples. But that blessing to study the word is there for all of us. So I encourage you this weekend maybe to take a little bit of time and just dig into this story because it's just such a powerful thing. And I thought it would be an important thing to do tonight to kind of refresh us about what is Good Friday? You know, because sometimes we just, you know, we think we kind of know what it is, but this is one of the most powerful times of the year. And I'm proud of everybody who came out to church tonight, and I feel like there really is like a potential for miracles here tonight. And God is God every day, but there are seasons and windows my dad talks about. And I know that we're in a season right now. So I just believe God's going to be releasing miracles as we speak. And I'm praying right now, God, just flow through me tonight, Lord. Like, I'm going to say some things, and I did my best to figure this thing out, but I want God to anoint my words beyond what I can iterate to you, and that this message would mean something to you and do something for you, that you leave this place with the power of the Holy Spirit on your life in a new way. So what is Good Friday? Well, my dad, I think if my dad was here, the first thing he would say is that Good Friday is not about a ritual, but it is about having a revelation. It's about the last moments that Jesus spent on earth before his crucifixion. And you can imagine that if the Messiah was going to spend some time with his friends, you know, I think sometimes we forget that those were his friends he was spending time with. And this was his last moments with them. And you can imagine that Jesus, who was a teacher among teachers, imagine what he would have to say if he knew that it was his last moments here on earth. And he was delivering these remarks to the people who would be responsible for carrying on his message for the rest of eternity. So he didn't just get around and say, hey, how you been? What's up? You know, he had some important things to say. And that's why I thought it'd be important to just kind of remind ourselves about what is Good Friday, because it is an incredibly power and potentially miraculous appointment in time for us to get a revelation of. So here Jesus is, and he's in this upper room with his friends. And he's getting ready to be crucified, and he knows it. And you can only imagine it would be a pretty pretty intense situation, and he is doing the Passover meal with them. You remember he said, the disciples told him, Jesus, the Passover is coming up. Should we prepare? And he said, yes, go to this house and tell him that I'm coming and prepare the Passover meal. So he's doing Passover meal. So he would have been doing the Seder meal. Some of you have done the Seder meal with us. And so what was Passover? What was the Seder meal? Well, if you've heard my dad explain it, which he's the best, the Seder meal is a meal that commemorates the exodus of the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians through which is one of the greatest miracles, maybe the staple miracle of the Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. And so there's so much, if people just understood and studied their Bible, it's impossible not to believe in God the way that things line up. There's so many signs of who Jesus was going to be and predictions of what he was going to do. And the Seder meal actually does this, and it shows you who Jesus was, and we won't get into it, but the matzah bread, for example, is pierced, and Jesus would be pierced, and he's buried, and all of these different types of things. But of course, he hadn't been to the cross yet, so he's doing Passover with them, and they're commemorating the deliverance of their people from the hands of the Egyptians. And how many know that you and I, because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we have been delivered from that old mentality, that old bondage, that old slavery to sin mentality, amen? And Jesus is kind of like building something with him. And he's like, you think you've seen something? You ain't seen nothing yet. That's kind of what he's building to. And so he's doing this. And of course, at that same time, the people are getting ready for Passover themselves. And so they would have been preparing that sacrificial lamb. And so a lamb would have been slain or killed, and its blood would have been shed on behalf of the sins of the people. Every single year, this is how the sins of the people were forgiven during this period of time while the temple was still around. Nobody knew the temple wasn't going to be around anymore, so what are we going to do for the forgiveness of our sins? Well, God had a plan for that, amen? So that blood that was shed from the Passover lamb would have been then put on the door, above the door of all of the people. And anybody who had that blood on the door of their life, any curse that would try to come on them had to pass over them. And those people would be protected and blessed as long as they did that every year. So then Jesus takes communion. He takes that bread and he takes that wine. He actually does four cups. And like I said, it's really beneficial. And Dad teaches this, but there's nothing like studying it for yourself. But you should this weekend dig into those four cups, because it's like, whoa, this is such a trip. Like, this thing was whole. God had this thing planned out from the beginning, and he had to give it to us a little bit at a time so we could get it. But it's amazing. So he does communion with his friends there in that upper room. And then he teaches us that we're to do it as well. So that's kind of where I'd gotten to in my study. And I was like, okay, but what exactly is communion? Like, we've grown up in church our whole lives and we've heard communion our whole lives, but it's like, okay, what exactly is it? And so I looked up the definition of it, and I thought the definition was worth sharing because it's very powerful. The definition of communion is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. How many understand that in that room, in those last moments, there was some exchanging of supernatural, spiritual feelings and emotions? Feelings in the sense that he was God, but he was also a man about to go to the cross. You know what I'm saying? But there was some spiritual things being imparted into these people who would then be responsible for bringing the gospel to the world. And just to stop there for a second, they did it. I mean, that's wild that they did it. And again, going back into the importance of reading your word, like the Bible is, I was going to say the Bible and I pointed at my iPad, but the Bible is this incredible history book, and the history of the gospel going to the world with Paul and all of the disciples is absolutely incredible. And when you read that stuff and you get a foundation of it, it will be a foundation of faith for anything you face in your life, for the rest of your life. And so it's so important to know the word. But so the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. So when I read that, I said to myself, well, what is the intimate thought that Jesus was sharing with his disciples? And this is just kind of how my mind works. I have to break down every level of it to understand it. That's just how I am. But I think it's important to know what we're talking about when we say, hey, let's do communion, right? So what was this intimate thought that Jesus was sharing with his disciples? Well, he began to reveal to them this very intimate thought, and I'm sure the emotions were palpable in the room, that he was about to give his life for the sins of the entire world. What an intimate thought that he was sharing with them. And that there was a new covenant about to take place and a new Passover lamb. What amazing thing that must have been to hear Jesus explaining this and for them to start to get this revelation. That's this revelation that it's about. So why are we here tonight? Why do we do communion? Well, we do communion for multiple reasons, and I'll get to some of those here in a minute, but I think the most important thing is kind of what that video expressed, and it is to celebrate the sacrifice of a king. And it's a bittersweet thing. You know, honestly, like preparing for this message, it's like, how do you prepare for a Good Friday message about a Savior dying on the cross? It's a somber moment. And that's really the purpose. You know, when we preach on Sunday and we talk about that resurrection, it's going to be hype. But there is a somberness to what happened in that room with those disciples. And there's a revelation in understanding that. But we do. We celebrate the sacrifice of a king who lived his life without a crown and made the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. So ultimately, communion is what I call a holy moment. And that's what we're here to experience tonight. We're here to experience both together, but also individually between us and him, a holy moment where we can exchange with him and have him exchange with us intimate ideas and thoughts and feelings about what happened on that cross. It is an exchange between heaven and earth. An incredible exchange between heaven and earth took place when God gave us Jesus, his son. And it is an exchange from us to him of thanks for him dying on that cross for us. It is a holy moment where we recognize that Jesus died for us so that we can live for him. There's a little bit of reflection that is supposed to take place on Good Friday. Reflection always comes before the celebration. Amen. And this holy moment is where we take a moment to check our hearts and not feel condemned, but just allow the Holy Spirit to search us. Can I have an amen? Good word. So I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 says, "So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. So that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. And verse 34 cracks me up because Paul says, and if you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. Thanks, Mom. That part's so funny. These are letters. So what's he getting at, okay? And honestly, a lot of pastors will skip over that. We don't want to skip over that, okay? What's he getting at? When you remember him in communion, don't do it just casually and ritualistically, because you don't take his sacrifice or his name in vain. And when you do, you open up the door to curses in your life. I mean, he says it right there. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to have to go through that type of judgment. Instead, he says, I want you to wait for each other and give each other some time to hear what the word of the Lord is saying about the importance of allowing the Holy Spirit to check our hearts. Don't dive into the Passover meal and take part of this bread and this wine before you've done this. And if you're so hungry, eat at home before you come, because it's really important that we all wait for each other. That's so funny to me. So what do we do right now? Right now, we just take a moment, and I'm going to have the band come up, and we're going to get ready to close here with communion. But right now, I just want you to close your eyes, and this isn't a heavy thing or anything like that, but this is a time for us to invite the Holy Spirit, the all-knowing Spirit of God, to come into our lives and just allow him to shine a light on the corners of our hearts. And I'm pretty sure that the Holy Spirit immediately starts to speak to you. Is there some unforgiveness? Is there some anger or bitterness or resentment that you're holding on to, or just anything? And let me just make everybody feel good. We all got it. So we all have it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this is the beautiful thing about God's plan for mankind, is that he laid out this plan where every year, multiple times a year, he creates these appointments for us to recheck in with him and for him to just prune the dead parts of the tree of life inside of us and let those things grow so that we can move on. So whatever is in your life that, you know, the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about right now, I want you to just give it to the Lord and say, Father, I just repent of that thing, those things, all of those things, all those tons of things. Just give them all to him right now and just receive your forgiveness from the Lord right now. And just know what he's about to do to go to that cross is for the purpose of you being able to do this very thing right now, which is be able to come boldly to his throne and confess. And he is not mad at you. And he loves you regardless, but he wants the best for your life. So we just give those things to you right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. So now we move on to Matthew 26. And in Matthew 26, Jesus is doing the Passover meal with the disciples, and he leaves the disciples with three revelations. And in verse 17, of chapter 26, it says, "And on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?' He replied, 'Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover." And then we'll skip down to verse 26. And it says, "And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me.' Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Would you give the Lord a clap offering of praise? Do you have your... So listen, communion is not about a ritual of terrible tasting juice. Okay, we got real holla. It is about this revelation of who Jesus Christ is and remembering what he did for us. These three revelations that he left us with, and first we're going to start with the bread. But he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." What does that mean? It means that whatever healing you need in your body, in your mind, in your family, or in your finances, when you remember him, you open yourself up to every promise that is in his word, that he has come to heal the brokenhearted, the sick. He has come to heal every single one of us through the breaking of his body. And every curse is broken in Jesus' name. Do you receive that tonight? Let's take this body together. Thank you, Lord. God, we just receive your healing right now. God, thank you for allowing your son to go to the cross, for his body being broken for our sins, God. He was blameless, Lord. You know, I wasn't going to say this, but I won't say it. It just had to do with him being blameless, and he didn't take the cup of redemption because he didn't have to. And that's really cool, because he was blameless, but he still went to the cross, and his, it doesn't matter how big your sin is, how little, every sin for the rest of eternity is covered by his sacrifice. Incredible. Every healing is ours. Second revelation was in about his blood, and that there was a new covenant, that no longer would we have to sacrifice a lamb every single year or have to take it to this temple, but instead his sacrifice, him being the sacrificial lamb, would live inside of us as a temple. Oh, what a crazy revelation that is, that this is the temple now. It's just so awesome. So now we have this brand new blood covenant, which means that every promise in the Word of God, I don't know how many promises are in the Word of God, but hundreds, over 6,000 promises in the Word of God. Whenever I'm praying for someone for healing. I pray that God heals them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. Every cell in their body come in alignment with the will and promises of God. Every cell in our body come in alignment with the will and promises of God. What gives me the authority to stand on that? What Jesus did on that cross, him giving his own life. Nobody took his life. He gave his life as a spotless, blemishless lamb. And we are forgiven and washed in his blood. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sin. In Jesus' name, let's drink this. You're good, bro. And the last thing, that last revelation, he said, I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And that fourth cup, if we were doing the Seder, would be the cup of completion. Completion. But we don't drink it. But we know that it's coming. And he says, I'm not going to drink this with you until I come back. And that's just so powerful, because what that means is that, guys, here's that third revelation. We're going to see him again. And you know what? We're going to see everybody that we've lost again, too. Amen? Anybody that we've lost, we're going to see him again. But we don't have to fear. There's a lot of craziness going on in the world right now. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I just got to stay off of TV and all that kind of stuff, because it's like, this is a bummer. This whole thing is a bummer. People are acting crazy out there, but maybe they are. Well, I'm going to tell them about Jesus, but I'm not going to fear, because I know that I'm going to see him again. That's why he didn't drink that last cup, that cup of completion, because it's not completed yet. And the last thing that's amazing about that is that we're going to see him again, not because we're perfect or because we don't sin, but because of his sacrifice. So his mercy and his grace is fresh for us every single day. If you receive that tonight, would you give the Lord a clap offering? And why don't you stand to your feet and we'll close in prayer. I just want to say that, of course, we know that after Jesus did that, he was apprehended and he went to the cross and he was killed and murdered on that cross. But as we'll see on Sunday, and I want to invite everybody out to church on Sunday and say, hey, invite everybody you know to church on Sunday. He went into that tomb, but he rose 3 days later. And these two things are what our faith is about. This is what our faith is about. Him going to the cross and him rising from the grave. That's all our faith is about. Those two things right there. And that's why it's so important to understand what Good Friday is about. Because he gave his life so that you and I could have everlasting life. He gave his life yet while we were still sinners. What a great God. And Dad's going to share about the seven places on Sunday, and it's going to be a great thing. Let's pray, and then I'll let the team close us out. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for giving us your son, Jesus, and that he paid the price for all of our sins on that cross. Father, we just receive our salvation. We dedicate and rededicate our lives to you in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Happy Good Friday. And we'll see you on Sunday. We love you. Bye-bye.